Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're discussing a subject today that multitudes never hear of. In fact, I would love to hear from you if you've studied the term incarnation. What does it mean? Incarnation is not a word that you find in the Scripture. It's a theological, doctrinal, biblical truth that's found in the Word of God. But it's the when God became a man. When God became a man. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the Lord Jesus Christ preexisted before Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus Christ never ceased to be. When you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and you look at Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 17, you find that the one that created the heavens and the earth is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is that so? Because Jesus Christ is God. But Jesus Christ is God, and God came into the world through the womb of a virgin, that Jesus Christ would be born, that through Jesus Christ he could reveal, exegete, show forth God to man. John chapter 1, verse 18, and if you study the Scripture, no man has seen God, but yet Jesus Christ came into the world to reveal God to man. That's the incarnation, and that's what Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, is all about. Christmas is about celebrating God becoming man. Ladies and gentlemen, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Love to hear from you. Dialogue and discussion about the subject, question about the incarnation. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps. Dr. Phelps is Bible and Theology Professor in Conservative Theological University. Love to hear some questions that you might have for Dr. Phelps about the incarnation, about why we're celebrating Christmas, why it's so important to recognize the virgin birth and the incarnation. Dr. Phelps, continue your thought that you started on just before the news break.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 40, and verses 6 through 8, there's an interesting passage of Scripture, and I'll read Psalm 40, verse 6, which is, "Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened, burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required." And in this passage is one of those in the Bible where we believe that we have a quality of the Hebrew scriptures, the Psalms, called personification. Although David wrote these words by inspiration, he spoke not of himself, for the person who's speaking is the eternal Son of God.
Right.
There are several places in the Bible where the Son of God is actually speaking. In the inward meditation of his heart, God's Son rehearsed the reason why he would be made flesh to have a human body. The sacrifices and offerings mentioned in the first few books of the Bible, especially Leviticus, and offered under the law of Moses, were neither desired nor required by God as the true sacrifices for sin. They served only as evidences of the offerer's faith and as a temporary atonement, that is, a covering for sin, but they could never take away sins. Mm-hmm. And that's verified in Hebrews chapter 10. And that's where you find that this passage of Scripture from Psalms is actually quoted, and showing us that it is a messianic passage in Psalm chapter 40. So a greater sacrifice was required. The offerings under the law could not take away sin. They only covered them temporarily. Every year, there was a remembrance of the guilt that had to be atoned for.
Mm-hmm.
So a greater sacrifice was required, the Lamb of God, to take away the sin of the world, John 1:29. But before he could take away the sin of the world, he would need to come into the world. The Lamb of God is a reference to our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And so before he could become our sin offering, he had to come into the world. So in Psalm 40, verse 7, he said, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me." What a wonderful passage of Scripture, knowing that for certain that Jesus is the great theme of the Bible. After he submitted himself to do the will of the Father, the Son came into the world by way of the incarnation, and he was born in Bethlehem. The things that were foretold concerning the Messiah were fulfilled in the person of the only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. The Son was completely yielded to do the will of his Father.
Yes.
And that meant he should have a human body of flesh. Now, the New Testament book of Hebrews quotes Psalm 40 and shows that the fulfillment is in the virgin birth of Jesus. As the Son of God left the Father's home in heaven to have an earthly residence in the body that God prepared for him, he came to do the will of the Father, even to endure the cross. Let me read in Hebrews chapter 2 now, showing us that he came for that purpose then of being that one who would serve as our Messiah, our Savior. Reading in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." And in this chapter, we're told that he had to become like us. He had to take upon him flesh and blood. And there's an explanation given in this chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 14, and it reads like this: "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood," that's us, "he also himself became, or likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." Verse 16 says, "For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham," that is, a human body.
Human body. That's an interesting study, Dr. Phelps. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about when God became a man. That's what we celebrate for Christmas. We said the Christmas celebration is when we're celebrating when God became man, when God took upon himself the form of man. The word form is the Greek text morphe, the outward shell, the show of the look of a human being. And Dr. Phelps, one of the things that our listeners need to understand is when God came in the form of man, it did not diminish his being God, did not diminish who he was as divinity and supernatural.
Amen.
It was an addition his taking upon, because as you just touched on, he had to become a human being, had to be human flesh. Jesus Christ in his humanity had all of the attributes of humanity. He wept, he slept, he hungered, he thirsted, he was sad. He was sorrowful, etc. Everything that we find in humanity today, Jesus Christ experienced all of that, although he was yet God. That's the thing that's so fascinating. So if you want to use the term mind-boggling from the human standpoint, and I don't believe it's possible that the majority of our listeners understand the breadth and the depth of when we celebrate, when we say Christmas, we're celebrating God coming as a man. We're celebrating the incarnation of God, where God becomes a man. And ladies and gentlemen, I am interested in knowing your thoughts. 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps you have a question about the incarnation you'd like to ask Dr. Phelps. Perhaps you'd like to ask a question or make a statement. How are you celebrating Christmas? Are you doing it from the worldly standpoint? You see, ladies and gentlemen, if the world has its way today with the woke culture and with the cancel culture, we would not celebrate Christmas at all. It would be just another holiday, and perhaps with a different name, just like they're wanting to change July the 4th to Juneteenth, just like they're now saying that it's not Columbus Day, but it's the Indigenous Peoples Day. It's that we're changing our culture, and I'm fearful, ladies and gentlemen, that much of our culture today does not understand and therefore does not embrace the real reason for the season that is called Christmas. So I want us to understand that there's a need for us to know that. We're delighted, Dr. Phelps, to have you with us and talk about this. Further, elaborate on the incarnation and how it is Christmas and why we should celebrate it and what it should mean to us individually and collectively.
Well, let me say that another reason for the incarnation was to send a Redeemer.
Yes.
And this is something that so many people do not understand. They do not see the need of a Redeemer because they have not been convinced or convicted of sin.
Yes.
But the book of Galatians in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote these words in chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Now, there's a lot that could be said about Galatians and that verse especially, but a Redeemer is needed because we are under the captivity of sin.
Right.
Natural man doesn't understand that, but he's in bondage to sin. That's why he sins.
Right.
A Redeemer is one who is eligible, willing, and able to pay the price to set free those who are under bondage.
Amen.
Redemption was pictured in the delivery of Israel from bondage in Egypt by the shed blood of the Passover lamb, going back to Exodus chapter 12. This event pictured the greater price that was to be paid to redeem us. Many things in the Old Testament times point to something that is greater.
Yes.
There's a greater delivery, a greater redemption, and that is what took place at the cross. So this event back in Exodus pictured the greater price that was to be paid by Christ to redeem us. In the precious blood of the Lamb, we read in 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the Apostle Peter was telling us of the sinless, submissive Savior who shed his precious blood at the cross to purchase our redemption.
Amen.
So that Paul could write in Romans chapter 3, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. One of the great things that we will do when we get to heaven is not ride around upon a cloud sipping cider through a straw, but rather we will sing songs of praise to our Redeemer. Listen to words that I believe will be very much like what we will sing, and we need to start practicing now. In the Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, they sung a new song saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. So redemption is something great and wonderful that has been accomplished because of the virgin birth of Christ. The incarnation has meant something wonderful and special to us. And we could say, like the psalmist said, we're redeemed.
Amen.
Another good reason for the incarnation was to fulfill the purpose of God. God's sovereign purpose, as shown in the scriptures, was to put all things under the dominion of the last Adam, who is the man Christ Jesus, 1 Corinthians 15:45. In Hebrews chapter 2 and other places, we read about this incarnation. And so that God has many, many purposes, of course, for the incarnation. But I want to talk about God had a plan. I call it the divine plan of God. And God's plan for his son, when he sent him into the world, including at least these eight things. He was to become flesh.
Yes.
And the word we use with that is Emmanuel, God with us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've been talking about the last few minutes. He was to reveal the Father.
Yes.
He's the image of God. And we've spoken about that, how that he's the image of the invisible God. He made God visible. And he came to fulfill the promises. One of the great things I have learned from my study of the scriptures is that Jesus is the Messiah. And God has given wonderful testimony of his son throughout all the scriptures concerning Jesus, the Messiah,
yes,
in his predictions and his fulfillment. Another point about God's plan is that Jesus was to give his life for us.
Yes.
Because he's the Lamb of God. And he's to lay down his life, just as Isaiah 53 says. Jesus talked about that in John chapter 10, saying that he was going to lay down his life for the sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm one of those sheep.
Right, amen.
And so that brings me to the next point. He's not only to give his life for us, but according to God's plan, he had in mind to raise up his son again, mm-hmm, raise him up. And he's called the great shepherd. He's a great shepherd who sat down at the right hand of God, exalted in heaven. Peter talked about that a lot when he did the preaching in Acts chapter 2 and 3. And also, he's to be exalted at God's right hand. And the word that's used, or the name that's used, is Lord. God has declared that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians 1, 20 and 21.
I like that word,
talks about
Dr. Phelps,
that.
If I could jump in for a moment, I like that word Lord. It means owner, master, controller.
Yeah.
And he is Lord. And I think about the text in Acts, the 9th chapter, I believe it was, when Jesus spoke to Saul of Tarsus, and Saul of Tarsus was stricken, and he looked up and said, Lord, what would you have me to do? It was at that time Saul of Tarsus became Paul the Apostle. Lord, he confessed him as Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, that's the key to the celebration of Christmas, is knowing that God became a man, the incarnation, and he wants to have a personal relationship with you and with me. And this Christmas season, my invitation is, my challenge to you, is that you celebrate the Christ of Christmas by recognizing and realizing that Jesus Christ is God. And we celebrate Christmas to recognize and to celebrate his first advent, his first coming. I call it the celebration of the first Christmas, when God became a man. Jesus Christ is very God. He is virgin born. He's 100% God and 100% man. We're talking with Dr. Neil Phelps today. Dr. Phelps is a Bible college professor and theology professor in Conservative Theological University. Dr. Phelps, continue our thoughts. We've got just a few minutes to go.
I mentioned seven of those things in God's plan. And one more is that his son is to be the inheritor of all things.
Yes.
That's a great truth that I learned in studying the scriptures. Isaiah 65:9 the Messiah is said to be the inheritor of the mountains of God. And the Revelation chapter 5, where I read a few minutes ago, it speaks of him as taking the scroll, which is like the title deed to the earth. Mm-hmm. And he begins to take possession of the earth.
Taking the seals off one at a time.
So he's to be the inheritor of all things. And wonderful it is, not only is he the heir of God, and Hebrews 1:2 says he's appointed, so appointed as the heir of God. But you and I are joint heirs with him.
Amen.
As believers. So God's beloved Son was to become flesh. He was to reveal the Father, to fulfill the promises, to give his life for us, to be raised again, to be exalted at God's right hand, to be the inheritor of all things, and be the King of kings and Lord of lords, and rule forever and ever.
Amen. That's a good amen statement, isn't it? So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're saying is, we're talking to Dr. Neil Phelps. We're talking about the incarnation. So when we celebrate Christmas, it's not just another holiday. It's a holy day. It is the celebration of the day that God became man, that God took upon himself the form of flesh in the form of his uniquely born one, only begotten Son of God. It goes directly to the heart of the virgin birth. The incarnation of God speaks of the virgin birth, where Emmanuel, God with us, God came into the world through the womb of the Virgin Mary, through the form of Jesus Christ. Dr. Phelps, we've got about 2 minutes left, 3 minutes on the broadcast. Finish up with the thought so that our listeners will understand the awesome solemnity and the seriousness of celebrating Christmas.
One important passage of Scripture is John 1:14. I believe it's a key to the incarnation, yes, to the virgin birth of Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And that has so much to say when it says, and the Word, that's the name of Christ, who is the eternal Word, the living Word, was made flesh. And I like to speak of that as God manifest in flesh.
Yes.
The incarnate Word, and dwelled among us. Now, that speaks of his life when he lived, when he was here on the earth. The eternal Word, God, came to live among men. Mm-hmm. And he was here for about 33 years.
Yes.
He dwelt among us. And the next part says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. You see, we beheld something of God in Jesus. Jesus made known to us the invisible God. Now we know what God's like.
That's right. Had it not been for Jesus, we would not.
Yeah. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father. And as we said a few minutes ago, he is the express image of the Father. Mm-hmm. He's exactly what God is like.
That's right.
And when it says begotten of the Father, that is so important. The words that are used in this verse and in John 3:16 are special words in the original text.
Yes.
And it says he's the only begotten Son of God. Now, some of the New Age versions today want to change that truth to one and only. And in doing so, they rob us and people who read from that text of a wonderful truth. And so he's the only begotten of the Father.
If I can jump in, those new translations like that, they destroy the virgin birth.
Yes.
When it says only begotten, it's meaning uniquely born one, speaking directly to the virgin birth.
Yes.
And the first thing I do when I look at a New Age translation is look at John 3:16, see what it says about whether it is his only son or his only begotten son. There's a vast difference.
Yes, it's a word, if I may try to pronounce it. I'm not a Greek scholar as such, but it's monogene. And that word is simply ignored by the translators of some of the New Age versions today.
That's right.
In doing so, they reveal to us that perhaps they doubt the virgin birth of Christ.
Question it, doubt it, or discard it.
And then the last part of John 1:14, full of grace and truth. See, the Bible tells us grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And he is the truth in person. Mm-hmm. He is the truth of God. Jesus Christ is the God-man. That's the simple way of saying John 1:14. He fulfilled the prediction of the seed of Abraham, David, with a capital letter on the word seed. He fulfilled the promises that were made to the fathers. He fulfilled the promise of Isaiah 7:14 concerning Emmanuel. He fulfilled the provisions of the Lamb. Goes way back to Genesis chapter 22. When Abraham offered up his son, he was picturing what took place at the cross.
Yes.
And so thank God today for the promises concerning the Messiah that are made known to us and revealed and fulfilled in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. One little final footnote that I'd like for our listeners to be reminded of. Jesus Christ, God come in the flesh, did not in his coming diminish any of the attributes or the prerogatives of God. Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. He was omniscient, he was omnipotent, he was omnipresent, he was 100% God and 100% man. And so as we celebrate Christmas, let me remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we celebrate Christmas, ponder on why we're celebrating it. What is the day for? It is to reflect on, to remember, and to celebrate the day when God became man, when God took upon himself the form of man, Philippians 2, verse 5 and following. Dr. Phelps, we've got about 45 seconds. Would you like to add one little footnote?
I'm so glad for the Christmas story that's related to us in the book of Luke. And I read one verse. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, we wish for each and every one of you a holy Christmas, a Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for joining us on this broadcast. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1/2 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m., for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.